Good to be with you. I do miss you, often in my thoughts and my prayers. And I bring love and all good things from your brothers and sisters on the East Gate over in town, and here you are on the West Gate. So we'll just we'll start with prayer. Father, we just praise you and thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you, Father, for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. And I just pray in Jesus' name that as we come round your word this morning, that your word will go forth. Not my word, but your word will go forth. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I had a word for you, but it was my word. God changed my mind. Amen. On Tuesday, actually, on the ferry. I thought I had it sussed and I was all prepared. And he said, no, I want you to go back over something that he had me preach before. And I thought, but they probably in Stornoway know all this before. He says, you preach it. I thought, okay, who am I to argue? So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and it's, here I am in chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 11 and from verse 23 to 32. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But if we are judged, we are chastened. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the word. May God bless his holy word. You know, we are blessed in New Wine Church, Stornoway and Tain, to be able to have the freedom to come to the Lord's table every Sunday. And sometimes every time we get together. So not always has to be left to a Sunday. And I want to urge you this morning that there is a time in our lives that is good sometimes to just two or three of us to take communion together. Even in our own homes. We don't have to leave it and put it aside until a special time when it just becomes a ritual. We need to do it meaningfully, knowing why we're taking it. And this is what God has really been showing me, and I'm going to be incorporating it in our discipleship courses, because so many people think they know what communion is. And my hands up to that. There was a day that I thought what communion was all about as well. But it's not a ritual to be observed, but as a blessing to be received. And it was lovely this morning how we started off with that wonderful prayer from Donnie saying that we were to receive our healing, receive our blessing. And that's what this sacrament is about. The blessing of health and wholeness. When you hold that bread in your hand, you are coming in touch with the greatest expression of God's love. This love made him endure the cruel stripes on his back that caused him to subject his body to be beaten. That's the great love he has for us. You know, he could have just reneged and said, no, I'm not having any more of this. But because of his great love for us, he endured it. So that you and I could be made whole. So when we partake of these emblems, we celebrate and release our faith to receive his health and wholeness in exchange for our sickness and disease. When we drink the wine, we are reminded of the blood of the sinless Son of God that did not just bring you forgiveness, it also made you forever righteous. Forever righteous. Holy and blameless. So today you have perfect standing before the Father. And his ear is attentive to your softest sigh. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So next to being saved from hell and eternal destruction, divine health is the greatest blessing we can have. We look at Jesus' ministry, and he didn't walk on water all the time, and he didn't calm the storms all the time, but he did heal people all the time. And he healed all the people of all their diseases. So there is nothing that is too little or too great. You know, I often think, oh, it's only a headache. I'm not going to pray about that. It's only a headache. But it's a headache that is a headache that hinders me from functioning as he would like me to function. It's a distraction, total distraction. And these headaches can be a nuisance. Toothache, earache, little things that we think, oh, I'm not going to bother God with that. I'm going to bother God with that. And then we get the great big illnesses we hear of and we think, oh, that's too much for God. But nothing is too much or too little. Nothing is too much or too little. When we look at Acts 10, now I want you to make a note of these scriptures. Might not read them all, but you go home and study them. Because you don't take my word for it. Always go and study the word for yourself. You look at Acts 10 verse 38. It shows you there that it is God's nature to heal. You know, this teaching on healing is not just a New Wine Church doctrine or something that has just been revealed to New Wine Church. This is the word of God from the beginning of time. So it's God's word. So, you know, you don't need to wait until you're fed like the little chickens. You can go and feed yourself. Go and feed. Meditate on the word. Meditate on it. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land, he made sure that none of them were sick. Not one of them were sick. Psalm 105, verse 37. We note of that. Check it out for yourself. Don't believe the Hollywood interpretation of the Ten Commandments depicting old, bent up men and women of Abraham going through the wilderness. Bible scholars estimate that there were about 2.5 million Jews left Egypt, and they were whole and healthy while they were going through the wilderness into the promised land. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? That was and still is God's will for his people. Hasn't changed. Hasn't changed his mind. All healed, healthy, and whole. Partaking of the Lord's Supper brings healing. And the Bible gives one and only one reason why Christians are weak, sick, and die prematurely. And I pray this morning that you will really hear God's word in this. And that you will be open to hearing his word. Forget all the doctrines of men. Forget all the denominations and the movements of word of faith and of this and of that. This is God's word. God's word. I remember hearing somebody, a minister actually once saying, you know, some Christians believe that you shouldn't be sick. Where did they get that from? And I thought, what? What? This is where they got it. In the written word of God. Verse 29 and 30 talks about sleep. And here it means death. Not just a bodily rest. For this reason, he's prompting us. For this reason, our failure to discern the Lord's body. It means that these Corinthians didn't know why they were partaking of the body when they came to the table. And I wonder how many Christians actually today do the same thing. They come to the table not fully discerning the Lord's body. Now, the Lord doesn't want you or I to be condemned if we haven't had a clear understanding of the discerning of the Lord's body. Because he wants to bless you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants you to convict you of his goodness. His goodness and his blessing. You know, so many of us follow the way of the world and focus on food and exercise as the key to living healthy life. And I'm knocking this. I struggle with it, I try, and I fall flat. But, you know, and there's a place for that, that we need to eat healthily and keep fit and all of these things. Because we're here to further God's kingdom. And if we do eat God's way, good, wholesome, natural food, we will be healthy. So I'm not just being dismissive of all of that. But what God is saying, that we need to recognize what his word is saying. What he's saying. The early church believed in the supernatural word of God. And in Acts 2, verse 42 and 43 and 44, it talks about them breaking bread and standing steadfastly together in the breaking of bread. We all recognize the importance of doctrine and fellowship and prayer, but few of us understand the significance of the breaking of bread and Holy Communion. The devil has pushed the church into two very erroneous and extreme interpretations of the truth. On one side, there are those who believe in transubstantiation, and on the other have reduced it to a mere ritual. God wants to restore the true meaning and power of Holy Communion so that his people will rightly discern his body when they come to the table. And this will cause us to become strong and healthy and live long lives. Holy Communion will add years to our lives and life to our years. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The provision of our health is found in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago when we worshipped up at Grianan, we were just about to come to the table, and I was sitting up at the back, and I remember seeing, and it was just in a flash, it was like a waterfall coming right down over the table and onto the floor. And I thought, what was that? But it was gone as quick as it came. And I just felt the Spirit of God saying, this is living water. And as we walk in the living water, we will be made whole. And this is exactly what happens when we take communion. Now you have to notice that Paul said that it was a failure to discern the body. Not the blood, but the body. Most of us were brought up to believe that both were lumped together for the forgiveness of sin. But there are two elements, because it's a two-fold application in the communion. One, the wine, his blood for our forgiveness, and that's very clear in Colossians 1 verse 14 and in Ephesians 1 7. And two, the bread, his body for our healing. His spotless blood has set us free, and we are forgiven and we're made righteous. His spotless blood has given us a right standing before God, and his spotless blood has made it possible to come boldly into his presence when we pray, and we can be sure that he hears us. The bread is for healing. Now, when we look at Mark 7, verses 26 to 28, we're looking at the story of the woman who wasn't a Jew, and she came and asked Jesus that her daughter would be delivered from the oppression of the devil. And he refers to the children's bread. And the children's bread is the healing for his covenant people. Now, Jesus was, in this instance, still operating under the Old Testament covenant. And the dogs refer to the non-Jews or Gentiles, like this woman. So Jesus was saying that healing was only for God's covenant people and not for those who were not included in the then covenant. The woman put her faith in that little crumb. And that act of faith released power to drive out the devil, so that the bread, even the smallest crumb, which was his body, is for our healing, since we are now under the new covenant. And are God's children, we are fully entitled to that healing bread. I believe when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, that the disciples didn't need any explanation of what that meant, because they saw him well every day. They saw him healing all the diseases. They saw him even when his clothes were soaked in healing. Matthew 5:25-34, we see the woman who just one touch of the hem and was immediately made whole. Luke 6:19 also talks about healing. Luke was a doctor. Now why don't we believe him? We're very quick to believe the unbelieving doctor and all his prognosis. But Dr. Luke, we overlook. And God is saying to us this morning, look to Dr. Luke. Whatever your GP says, or your consultant, or whatever, look to Dr. Luke. It's always a higher report, a better report. You know, the Passover bread, the matzah, was a flattened bread eaten at Passover. The Jews' oral laws gave instruction on how to prepare that bread. And it was to be unleavened, it was to be baked, and it was to be pierced with holes. The leaven represented the sin, and the baked was the just burning up all the horribleness of everything that was in the body to make it ready for it to be eaten and to be enjoyed. And the pierced with holes represented the stripes on his back so that our bodies might be made whole. So as we partake of his broken body this morning, know that his body was broken so that yours can be made whole. Believe that Jesus took the bread and broke it because he knew his body was going to be broken. And we do this in the spirit of faith. And when we do that in the spirit of faith, something happens to our bodies. We become strong, healthy, and have long life. And that's why I was saying to you when we began, you don't always have to leave it until the Sunday morning. If you wake up in a morning and you're feeling weak, and you're feeling old symptoms might be coming back, take communion in the spirit of faith. Remind yourself. That's what he says. Remind. Has anyone got the Life Application Bible? Yes? Not the Life Application. Sorry, the Amplified. You got the right. If you read, you haven't got it with you. Katrina, have you got it with you? Can you read out the verses that we read out at the beginning, verses 23 to 32, please? Can you read it out, madam? Exercising the fruits of the Spirit.
First Corinthians. Sorry, because it takes a wee while to. Because I've moved on from there. First Corinthians 11. Yeah. What version?
Verse 23 down to 32.
Twenty-three. Do you want to read it?
But I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done, so should you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence that's a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world."
Amen. Thank you for treatment. Isn't that lovely? To call him affectionately into our remembrance. To call him and to remember him in an affectionate way. I think that's just lovely. Absolutely lovely. You know, the Old Testament is the shadow of the new covenant. The new covenant is the real substance. The double cure is evidence in the Passover. The Lord's Supper was first celebrated on the same day as Passover, because it is the true Passover, the real substance of the New Testament and the new covenant. During the first covenant, the lamb was killed and the blood covered the doorposts. You can read that in Exodus 12, verse 13. The blood was forgiveness and covered their sins. And it appeased the righteousness of God's requirement. And on the inside, they ate the meat, which was roasted in the fire, with the unleavened bread with its bitter herbs. That's in verse 8. Although through this they received supernatural strength for the journey, none were feeble among them. Supernatural power of God for 2.5 million, for them all to be healthy. How much more is the body of the substance, the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 103 talks about, notice his benefits. It includes forgiveness of sin as well as healing of our diseases. Healing is like forgiveness. It's not a promise. It is a blood-bought right of all who believe in Christ. The two go hand in hand. The faith you have for forgiveness is the same faith that'll bring you healing. Amen. The same faith. So just like those of old, we can come to this table this morning and be made strong for the journey. Made strong for the journey. And we can say that none are feeble among us. Because we are a peculiar people. We're set apart. And we need to be different. You know, I came on a week today, actually. I woke up about 4 in the morning, and I could hardly move. My knees, my back, was dreadful. Took me hours to get ready to get to church. Got there, and I thought, praying in tongues, and claiming my healing, and I got in, and I still, the symptoms were still there, and they were not going to go. So I asked one of the elders to pray for my back, and just like that, the power of two, it was gone. I was running around, literally running around the room. And there was a few religious spirits manifesting. What are you doing? But God had healed me. You know, we need to be different. And, when, you know, I'm not there yet. Maybe some of you are, but I'm not there yet. But I'm going to get there. That I will not have to ask anyone to stand with me. Because the scripture says, if any of you are sick, call the elders. Now that little word, if, to my mind implies that I shouldn't need it. Because I shouldn't be sick. So every day I need to resist the devil. Because the Bible says that all oppression comes from him. Christ died, the afflictions was our pain and our sicknesses. And so, you know, I'm not going to negate what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross by just giving in to the devil's wiles when he tries to slow me down. No, no, no. But we need to grasp hold and know what we're doing when we come and take communion. Know the power that's in it for our healing. Because we want to be shining lights. We want our brothers and sisters in Christ and the lost out there to say, how come you're always well? When did you last hear of Donnie Stewart being unwell? I don't think I've ever, in all the years that I've known him, I haven't known him to be sick or to have any disease. We all need to be like that. We all need to be like that. Grasp hold of it. And when the symptoms come, don't give in to it. Speak the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. And before you even go to pray for someone, make sure you have a healing scripture to pray over them. And that goes for any situation in our lives. If we pray the word of God is not returned to him void. So we need to get rid of the Gentile prayers, the long, wordy, worldly prayers that are all come from an emotional nonsense, and just speak the word of God. Pray the word of God. Prophesy the word of God. That's what you need to do when you go and do your healing on the streets. Never mind your long prayers. Pray the word of God into their lives. And you will see God come through, because his word does not return to him void. So hallelujah. We're going to come around the table, and we're going to come in faith, discerning the Lord's body, so that we don't get weak and feeble and sick and have death among us. It offsets the aging process. We will age, and this mortal body will die, but it doesn't have to be in the same way as those in the world, because we're in a different world, different kingdom. So our days will be long upon the earth, and we will be functioning well and able to do all that God wants us to do and preach the gospel wherever we go. Amen.
Hallelujah. How do I put this off?